I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, everybody. I'm going to be joined by Sean Pendergast here in a moment. I just wanted to encourage all of you to subscribe on iTunes. And also, if you see fit, leave a 5-star review if you're enjoying the podcast. That helps out a whole lot. Enjoy today's show. Welcome to the Deceptively Fast Podcast. Today, you are in for a treat. Sean Pendergast joins me again as we continue our reality review of sports reality TV and documentaries. The only thing that's really going on in the world of sports TV right now isn't even really sports television. It's very Cavallari. The show's really about Kristen Cavallari herself, but I think Sean and I both agree that Jay Cutler is the star of the show. Fair enough, Sean?
Yeah, and they're putting his character out there. They're giving us just enough to where we want more. You know what I mean? They're giving us Jay Cutler in dribs and drabs right now because he's not a main character at all.
He's supposed to be just comic relief.
He is, and I feel like the show, you know, kind of like The Simpsons, the first like season was centered around Bart, and then they realized like, wow, Homer is the guy.
Yeah.
And then it became the Homer Simpson
Except
show.
Except I think that it'll never be Jay. Jay will never agree to be the star of a reality show. He's very grudgingly doing this and going along with it and basically being himself, but I don't think he's all about the reality life.
I don't think he is, but with these reality shows, we know they record, you know, for every hour they put on TV, they probably record days worth of footage. So there's enough Jay in that footage to where if the producers want to give us more Jay, there's more Jay to be had.
So episode 2, Kristen Cavallari is moving into her office, which Jay is really happy about because Jay has a busy day of sitting around all day that these women are interfering with as they work out of his office.
Right.
So Jay, my favorite scene in this was when Kristen Cavallari came to the top of a railing of what looked to be like a public library.
Yeah.
You start to realize how big their house is. Their house is 19,000 square feet.
It's huge.
Jay is casually perched on a couch and he's opened up to, it looks like page one of a book. Mm-hmm. Like he's not, Jay's supposed to be reading. And she informs him that they're moving out and he couldn't be happier about this, which in Jay's world is like he gives almost a little bit of a smirk.
Yeah, they're moving out. Well, yeah, she's moving into her new office. So that means that all these women won't be showing up. And, like, I don't know. Jay's kind of the antithesis from that standpoint. Like, I think most guys would be pretty welcoming of like 3 or 4 really attractive women showing up at the house every day. What are they interfering with? You know what I mean? Like you said, he's just kind of sitting around doing nothing but watching his deer lease on an iPad.
You've got 19,000 square feet.
Right.
Nothing that can be an inconvenience in a 19,000 square foot house, right? Like Chris Paul in his house with his 20 bedrooms or whatever, maybe you've got an argument there because he's got entire families living with
him. Right. You did the sleuthing on what book he was reading.
Oh, it was Thinking Fast and Slow, which is a tour of the mind and explains the two systems that drive the way we think. System one is fast, intuitive, and emotional. System two is slower, more deliberative, and more logical, which there's an interesting angle here, too, which is Mitch Trubisky, who's now the starting quarterback in Chicago.
Yeah.
He did an interview recently where he talked about how he's reading more and how it helps him absorb more information. I wonder if there's some kind of lineage here with that specific book, because that sounds a little bit like what Mitch Trubisky was talking about.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Jay Cutler doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would have reached out to Mitch Trubisky after he was gone and taking the young guy under his wing.
Well, and we know from the first episode that Jay does like to go seek reading material to get better at things, because you remember at the very beginning of the first episode where Kristen Cavallari said that Jay has started to go down on her more.
Oh, that's right.
And because he read an article in GQ about it, about how to do it better. And this is the question I wanted to ask you when I saw that. What do you think Jay Cutler spent more time reading, the article on Cunnilingus in GQ or the Dolphins playbook in the year that he was with the Dolphins?
I can see Jay kind of going halfway through whatever technique he learned and just saying, screw it, I'm done with this or whatever.
You know, like, my tongue is like,
you know,
my arm,
you know,
man.
What he'd do? He'd force it. He'd force it too much. He'd be like, no, I'm going through the damned alphabet. I've got to Q. I know R is not open, but I'm going for it anyway. And like when Kristen complained, he would just keep going ahead. That's what he does. He forces things that aren't supposed to be. Not forcing in like a Me Too way,
yeah.
But forcing in a just like, okay, she's not responding the way you think it is, but you're going to keep going.
I think Jay has a lot of unfinished books in that library. You know, what I mean? Like, I think there's a lot of books where, like, I bookmark books by, like, folding the top corner of a page, and that's where I pick up. There's a lot of books in Jay's library where the top corner of the page is folded at, like, chapter 3, and then it's just, like, whatever.
Or it's not even that. It's, like, he gets to chapter 2, and it's like, this guy's a moron.
He's frustrated
with
the
book. This guy's such a clown.
Like, these bitches my wife brings over every day to do her business, man.
Jay's interaction with his wife's employees continues to be interesting just because they're terrified of him.
Yes.
And you've seen both episodes now. I think when I talked to you last, you hadn't seen the first episode where Shannon the redhead is just infuriating.
She's the monster heel on this show.
Yeah.
Every show has a bitch. And she's the bitch on this show.
Because she works with Brittany. Brittany is the boss of her.
Yeah.
But Shannon resents the fact that Brittany is the boss of her.
Because Shannon was always used to reporting to Kristen, who's the CEO of the company.
And Shannon resents that Brittany also likes to work where Shannon does it.
Shannon said she doesn't like to work. She likes this job because it's easy and she doesn't have to work very much.
The part that gets confusing is that both Shannon and Brittany have boyfriends named John.
That are in the music business that know each other.
They know each other and work with each other. This is the dynamic I sense so far, and not to stray too far away from Jay, because this is all about Jay, and it's a damn football podcast, damn it.
Right.
You see immediately in episode 1 that this singer-songwriter, John Gurney, is doomed. He is doomed in this show because Shannon is a man killer.
Yeah.
And he even admits it. In the first episode, he talks about how his songs have been more positive and upbeat since he started dating Shannon.
Yeah.
But you can tell that, like, Shannon, as she's listening to a song, is judging and evaluating him, and you can tell he's terrified of her.
You can see it coming from a mile away. And this poor guy. He's like a starving artist.
John Stone is the boyfriend of Brittany. I feel like he might be the coolest guy on the show, but we're not going to see a whole lot of him.
No.
He's a successful music producer.
Yeah.
I don't think he's like got a lot to gain by this, does he?
He was a little creepy to me at first, but you kind of see the interaction with Brittany and like, okay, now I kind of see why she likes him.
He's a lot older than Brittany.
He's 10 years older, yeah.
So is there is it a creepy musician vibe?
Well, she said she's an old soul, so they kind of meet in the middle.
Whenever a girl says she's an old soul, that's kind of code for, I feel like that's kind of code for being antisocial. That's like, oh, well, I don't get along with people my own age.
Yeah.
It works when you're 13 or 14, I think. But I think by the time you're 25 or 26 or 27.
Probably true.
Let's see. The other big Jay Cutler moments in this, that was one of the questions I had as I'm watching the two Johns and these other guys. Would Jay get along with any of these guys? You never see Jay interact with any of the other men on the show.
Yeah. In Jay Cutler's style, I feel like Jay gets along with everybody in his own way, which is he's just kind of standoffish and dickish to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you could almost plug him into any social situation because I feel like he's just that sort of smarmy, disgusted with the world, kind of wants to be on his own sort of way. So I feel like he would get along with them just as well as he gets along with everybody that shows up at his house or his buddy Chewy, who I'm sure we're going to talk about.
He's got this dynamic where I feel like guys know obviously he's Jay Cutler and he's a former pro, so they'd be maybe a little uncomfortable or nervous around him.
Yeah.
And they'll let him, as has happened with Jay Cutler his whole life, they'll let him get away with a certain amount of douchiness that normal guys can't get away with.
You have been around quarterbacks, many, many quarterbacks. You played for a decade in the NFL.
Yeah.
Did any of them have the same personality as what we've seen? This is the biggest window we've had into the Jay Cutler we have all thought existed for a long, long time. What he's been on these first two episodes of this show is what I think we've all assumed he's kind of been throughout his career, just based on facial expressions and body language, just kind of standoffish. And, you know, he's made a ton of money.
Yeah.
He really doesn't, I, he doesn't, he doesn't seem to care what happens when he wakes up in the morning. He just wants to go pick up his kids at work. Have you ever been around a quarterback that's been anything close to what this guy's
not
like?
Even close? Yeah. Like, not remotely. Because I think quarterbacks, I mean, some of them might be tougher on their offensive linemen than others, and others might be more laid back or loose. You know, I guess the whole spectrum would be of successful quarterbacks would be Brett Favre on one side and Peyton Manning on the other.
Mm-hmm.
But neither those guys were all socially adept. Like, okay, I played with Mark Brunell, David Carr. Mark Brunell obviously was a lot more successful than David Carr. And then a bunch of the backups that played with those guys, some of whom played a while, they're all pretty socially plugged in. Like, their EQ is pretty good. Where Jay, it just seems like he doesn't have any kind of interest in going out of his way for anybody.
Which, all the guys you just named, obviously varying levels of success, but they all seem to have at least had a desire to be the face of the franchise. They, you know, they accomplished it to varying degrees of good and bad, obviously. I mean, wide ends of the spectrum. But, like, Jay Cutler's right arm is the most magical appendage in sports of all time. And when you think of how much money he's... That a guy that he really accomplished nothing in the NFL... Over, you know, what did he come in the league? 2006? Mm-hmm. He came in with Matt Leinart and Vince Young. And all those teams would have been better off drafting Jay Cutler instead of those two guys. But still, he never, I think he went to one Pro Bowl. He got the Bears to one NFC title game. And you look at this personality now, like, this is a dude who just wakes up every morning. He just wants to go hunt his deer.
Yeah.
He wants to put on his vest.
He just wants to watch.
If he's not hunting, everywhere he goes.
He just wants to watch deer on various deer feeders. That's one of the things that happens in this episode is he's watching deer feeders in the morning, and he watches, like, the neighbor's deer feeder.
Yeah.
And
he names the deer.
He names the deer. He says he's just happy that one of these deer isn't Dale.
Yeah.
And from what I could tell, I think Dale is a deer that he's got his eyes set on.
I feel like Dale is... Do you ever watch the show Swamp People? They hunt gators, and there's this one gigantic gator they call the Rougarou. And that's like the mother of all the gators. You know, like that's the big one. I feel like Dale... Or like the movie On Golden Pond, they wanted to catch that big, gigantic fish, Walter.
Right.
I feel like Dale is like Walter in On Golden Pond.
And he's territorial about that. That's what he's obsessed with right now.
And he's waiting to kill him. He's stalking Dale.
I feel like the one thing that could be redeeming for Jay Cutler in this, except Kristen Cavallari won't allow it, is interaction with their kids. Is we don't get to see the kids at all, which I'll credit Kristen Cavallari for not wanting to be a Kardashian and basically become like a glorified, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like a stage mom almost?
A stage mom, but with the Kardashians it's even worse because there she's almost like a madam.
Like they're exploiting the kids somehow or something.
She doesn't want to exploit her kids, so I'll give her credit for that. But I'm guessing that Jay is probably pretty good with his kids. Like I could see him giving them the appropriate amount of tough love.
Yeah. Do you think at some point the producers asked them? Because I'll be honest with you, in watching the first two episodes of this show, it does feel like there's this kind of gap in there that you don't see the kids at all.
You don't see the kids at all, and
it's weird.
It's hard for Kristen Cavallari, I think, to be a complete character on the show when you don't see that side of her.
Yeah.
Because there's almost like two halves of the show now where all her employees are having their own dramas and everything, and they're all getting catty with each other and they form alliances. And Kristen's completely removed from that. So all you really see are her kind of talking to her employees on not all that deep a level and then having this banter with Jay that she says is a playful banter. But as she says that, she says, like, well, we have this playful banter, and it's all in good fun. I've never seen a woman look less confident in, like, how playful the banter is when she's describing their playful banter.
Yeah, and she was describing Jay, like, yeah, Jay used to send me love notes and love emails. I'm like, those, they have to be somewhere, right?
Yeah.
We need copies of Jay Cutler's love notes.
I bet the producers have already asked her, and the only way they'd convince her to bring the kids along is if ratings suffer.
Yeah.
That's where your true ideals get tested. Like, how much do I really love my kids? Ratings, we took a hit in the fall ratings. Yeah. Let's bring them on.
But any TV aficionado knows, Seth, that when you start bringing little kids on a show, that's usually the death knell for the show.
That's true.
Like Family Ties, when all of a sudden they have Meredith Baxter Burney has a little kid. Different Strokes.
Yep.
They brought in little redheaded Sam.
Brady Bunch, you had that annoying little kid with the glasses.
Cousin Oliver.
Cousin
Played
Oliver.
By Robbie Wrist.
Awful.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Robbie Wrist.
What did Robbie Wrist ever end up doing?
I don't know. He went on to do a show called Big John, Little John, where is this? Anyways, I won't give you
the plot. I don't know. I feel like the new kid gets blamed a lot, where really, like, it's like microfracture surgery.
Yeah.
A lot of times microfracture surgery gets blamed when really it's that microfracture was the last ditch effort.
Yeah.
So
the straw that broke the camel's back.
Right. Well, or that the guy, when guys at the end of their career get microfractured, it's that, hey, I've got arthritis. This is the one thing that might help.
Yeah. It's they the last ditch effort.
They have microfracture, and then people say, like, oh, wow, microfracture surgery, yeah, that did him in.
It's really
I
just
think
a Hail
Brady
Mary.
Brady Bunch was on its way out anyway, and Cousin Oliver could only regrow so much cartilage in that
knee. You can only
knee.
Do so much with a little kid with a bowl cut and wire-rimmed glasses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you choose, he's an inadequate surgical.
Yeah, so I think you're probably right. Like, if ratings suffer, maybe they throw the kids in there.
This guy, Worth.
Yeah.
So
there are some interesting characters that have been tossed into the mix here.
There's this guy that shows up named Worth, who's apparently, like, a wealthy child Instagram model. He was a wealthy kid. He's a man now.
Yeah.
He's got rippling abs. He's veiny. They show these pictures of him on Instagram where he's just shredded. For whatever reason, rich kid Worth is going to be working in Kristen Cavallari's boutique on Friday and Saturday nights.
Yeah.
And immediately all the women are salivating over him.
Yeah.
Shannon, whose boyfriend John is that singer-songwriter who's dirt poor right now.
Yeah.
Shannon's just gushing over this dude Worth.
Oh, yeah.
I found myself in this situation where I tried to put myself in John Gurney's situation. John gets really jealous because Shannon's flirting with Worth.
Mm-hmm.
Worth, to his credit, doesn't seem to be encouraging anything.
No.
Like, he's just being Worth. He's just like one of these male bimbo, like, nice. You know what reminds me of is Owen Wilson in Meet the Parents.
Yeah, yes.
He's
Kevin.
Like just kind of like this super rich, successful guy who couldn't be any nicer.
Right.
Owen Wilson was a little bit more into his ex-fiance, but like he wasn't like trying to be a jerk
to
Ben Stiller or anything. Yeah. He had a focker. That's where Worth is. Worth is in this uncomfortable situation where Shannon is like all but eye-screwing Worth all the time, and John Kearney's had enough of it, and he walks out.
Shannon's a terrible person, and the funny thing about the second episode was she had this epiphany towards the end of the episode that she's a terrible person.
Yeah.
I totally believe that Shannon was flirting with Worth, and I feel like Gurney was almost justified in how he was feeling.
She acts like it's just completely unbelievable that anybody would think she was flirting with him. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You gave him a look that, like, if my wife gives me that look, I know that we're about to have sex. Like, that's the exact look she gave him.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to, I feel bad for Worth. I feel bad for John Gurney. This is what Shannon is doing. She's tearing people apart.
Yeah, yeah. This show, man. This show is like The Bachelorette had sex with The Apprentice. That's what it is, man.
It's got everything. It's got something for the guys. It's got something for the girls.
Yeah.
This is a question that's always haunted me about Jay Cutler. Because I watch him, and I'm trying to figure out, is he actually grumpy, or is he tired and, because he has type 1 diabetes.
I forgot he had type 1 diabetes.
Is this just, does he not manage his diabetes well? Like, could he simply be hypoglycemic a lot of the time?
It could be. He yawns a lot.
He always looks tired.
He does.
Doesn't he? Like, it doesn't look like, some people are just grumpy no matter what, how tired they are.
Yep.
He more looks like he's so tired that he can't be bothered with
stuff. I wonder how he sleeps.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, does he have sleep apnea?
Yeah, I've had a sleep epiphany over the last year where I use a machine now, and I've dropped a bunch of weight. I feel a lot better during the day. I wonder how he sleeps. I wonder if he's a snorer.
It could be something as simple as that.
Yeah,
remember
dude,
Danny
that's
Clark?
A big thing.
Remember Danny Clark?
Sure.
He's the linebacker for the Texans. He played for a few teams, the Giants when they won a Super Bowl. When he was a rookie with the Jaguars, he'd fall asleep in meetings. He messed up all the time. The linebackers coach was an old Naval Academy guy, Steve Szabo. He used to just crush him. No, Steve Szabo was a West Point guy.
I'm sure, that went well.
Yeah, yeah. No, he used to just crush him. And after his first offseason, he was diagnosed with sleep apnea.
Yeah.
And it changed his life.
Dude.
He became a completely different guy.
Yeah.
So maybe Jay Cutler's entire life just needed either A, an insulin pump, or B, just better sleep management.
Didn't he, the one Pro Bowl he went to, didn't he get thrown in the pool with his insulin pump on? Wasn't that a story? I think that happened.
Like somebody hazed him?
I may need to Google it. Yeah, I think Jay Cutler at the Pro Bowl got thrown into the pool with his insulin pump, and then he never made the Pro Bowl again. Maybe that's why he didn't go to the Pro Bowl again. He's like, screw this, I'm going to play just good enough to get a big contract. I don't want to get thrown in the pool with my insulin pump. From the Denver Post. He made it as a Denver Bronco. In front of Jay Cutler was the clear blue but chilly water swimming pool at the Iolani Resort. The gang of Pro Bowl football players had been gathered around the tables, swapping stories. Then suddenly Nick Mangold pushed from one side, Chris Dielman from the other, and his cell phone swindling into the hands of a coy Peyton Manning. Cutler's radar had gone up, but he never had a chance. We gave him a Pro Bowl baptism, Dielman said. Great fun. There was just one problem. Cutler is a type 1 diabetic, and in his pocket was his blood sugar monitor.
Oh, jeez. Did it ruin it?
I'm sure
it did. I would hope those things were waterproof. Yeah. If there is a waterproof version,
The monitor was fried by the chlorinated water.
Oh, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So then you
check your blood sugar.
No kidding. Oh, if there's one person I would see not taking that well, it's Jay Cutler.
Yeah, Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler's the last guy. Yeah. Last thing, city of Nashville, two things. One is that when Shannon and John got in the fight that they did, there was a huge commotion. Everybody's huddled together trying to figure out, where's John? Oh my gosh, we have to find John. She's calling all over the place. Yeah. It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
It felt very high school.
They left it as a cliffhanger too. We still didn't know where John is at the end of the
episode. That's right. Brittany and Shannon made up.
Yeah.
And Brittany told Shannon, well, I'll sleep on it until morning.
Don't talk while you're drunk.
All I could think about during that episode was the last time we saw a ridiculous search of the city of Nashville for something that wasn't that big a deal was one Vince Young.
Yeah.
Remember when Vince Young went out to get wings and there was like an APB out for Vince Young because nobody could find him and his parents were worried about him.
How poetic would that be if like the upshot of this storyline is the beginning of episode 3, like John Gurney is at like a wing stand somewhere just chowing down on chicken wings, watching a replay of a football game on a flat screen TV somewhere.
John Gurney was upset. I feel like there were too many dramas that were actually wrapped up in episode 2.
Yeah.
Shannon and Brittany are getting along again. I guess they're probably trying to set the scene for moving forward into the next one. The store opening phase. That's the new drama.
You just know Shannon's going to stab Brittany in the back at least one or two more times.
Shannon's going to be a constant source of stress and turmoil.
She has to be. This show would get very boring if Shannon all of a sudden became a good person.
Without the employees, it would be a rough show.
Yeah.
Oh, the other part about the city of Nashville is I'm watching it. It looks like it's got a fun nightlife, as everybody knows. Yeah. The city itself in winter, this is a depressing place. I feel like it's a northern city in terms of it's cold and everybody has to bundle up, but there's no snow on the ground at all.
So snow brings the atmosphere up, you're saying.
It adds a little brightness to the environment, but I don't think they get much snow at all. So it just feels, whenever you get that kind of grayness around you, it feels a whole lot where I grew up in Western New York. If there's no snow on the ground, it feels exactly like I imagine 1955 Soviet Union. Like it just lifeless and gray.
But with a lot of neon signs.
So Soviet Union plus neon.
Plus neon signs. Yeah, I'm not as anti-grayscape as you are. I kind of like the change of seasons. Jay Cutler looks very comfortable. I'm very jealous of Jay Cutler being in an environment where he gets to just walk around in a down vest, a ski cap, and he doesn't have to deal with driving in the snow.
That's true.
It looks like a very relaxed atmosphere.
He's usually wearing like a Carhartt hat and talking about deer hunting and everything.
Can you believe he had a high-level Fox broadcasting job lined up this time last year?
No, and I think that a certain segment of people would have really liked him, but he's very dry and he's very sarcastic, and it would have ended up being like Letterman and Leno. Like, he would have been Letterman, where Tony Romo is totally Jay Leno.
Yeah.
Like, he's completely, like, he has the mass pop appeal, where Jay would kind of have an edge to him.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, I think we'd get a more energetic version on TV than we're getting in this show, where he's just lounging around his house and you know, looking at iPads with deer leases and things like that. But you're right. I don't think he would have taken it up to the notch Romo. I would have been interested to see what broadcast Jay would have sounded like.
I wonder, now that he's having this experience, and he'll probably get a lot of positive feedback from it, I wonder if this kind of prods him to move forward. Plus, it does get boring.
Yeah.
Those first couple of years when you're trying to figure out what the hell you're going to do with your life, at first you think like, yeah, I'm going to live the good life. But the same thing that people say when they're 65 and all of a sudden they get stir crazy when they retire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine being in your early 30s.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. Like yeah. Some guys are, I know a few guys that are built for it and just become Mr. Mom and are taking care of the kids all the time and they just absolutely love it. I think a lot of guys like myself like doing that, but also need something different. And it's just not as simple or glorious as like maybe Jay Cutler thinks it is.
No, it's a hard transition, man. Not to go too dark on the podcast, but like there you read stories of guys all the time. I wrote a story a few years ago for the Houston Press where I interviewed Eric Winston and Chris Myers and Aaron Taylor and a number of other guys. And I may have even talked to you for that story.
You didn't.
Also.
Okay. I was a little insulted.
Okay.
But
yet you still invite me on your podcast.
No, but I remember Chris Myers had a really nice suit. That was a good article. That was old school journalism there. Like they had a glossy spread
they
and everything.
Did. They went and did a photo shoot at, I want to say they did it at Nine Innovations, Abdul Foster's gym. And but it was an article. So I talked to a handful of guys about transitioning, and it's even the guys who look really well adjusted on the outside, like you said, if there's nothing going on during the day, that's dealing with that type of boredom is, I know there's a lot of people listening who are probably like, I would love to deal with that boredom and not have to go to work every day. But it was the lack of a regimen, you know, it was the removal of having to be somewhere every day. And now all of a sudden you've got all this time to fill and idle hands are the devil's workshop sometimes.
I think like we are biologically, we're task oriented as a species.
Yep.
Like we want to be completing tasks or feeding people or killing things or whatever.
Providing.
Yeah. You want to provide, you want to serve a purpose. And when you're not doing that all of a sudden, especially when you've always been, I think a lot of guys put that relaxation or that leisurely lifestyle on a pedestal without ever really having had an opportunity to understand what they do and don't like.
Because
you're on this program from the time you're in high school onward to where you're always moving towards one thing.
Yep.
And then it's completely gone, which is a great problem to have. But then especially, I think if you have any hint at all of potential neurodegenerative diseases or CTE or early onset Alzheimer's or anything, everything snowballs really quickly. And just talking to different neurologists over the last couple of years, you know, head trauma is one risk factor for having some of these issues. And with football and CTE, who knows, we'll find out how different it is from other things. But it's one risk factor.
Mm-hmm.
But alcohol abuse is another one. Lack of exercise is another one. Bad diet is another one.
Yep.
And when you start to have all this free time on, I think that's where guys can go downhill really quickly.
Yeah.
And it's like I tell guys all the time, like you got to have a purpose of some sort, whether it's charity or whether it's not a matter of just filling up the day with activities and hobbies. Like you got to have a purpose.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right, man. Yeah. Thanks for bringing it down there at the end.
we didn't talk about Chewy.
Oh, Chewy. Chewy.
Let's bring it back up again.
Chewy, the friend of Jay Cutler. Gay friend of Jay Cutler. His gay friend Chewy, who's only recently come out of the closet, but Jay has been friends with since college.
Yeah, he was in their wedding, they said.
Right. Yeah. So the natural question is, okay, things have changed a lot over the last 10 years.
Right.
I think, like, I feel different. Like, I've always been an open-minded guy. But I think in terms especially of how athletes and other people view LGBT lifestyles and everything, people are just a lot more open and accepting than were before. So I'm trying to think of Vanderbilt football back in the early 2000s and whether Jay like was friends with a guy that people thought might be gay, or because Jay says that he and Kristen, you know, kind of thought he might have been gay,
right,
or at least
right.
Kristen said that.
Yeah.
Like, was Jay friends with him in college, which is pretty cool by Jay, and a thing that maybe goes against a lot of people's public perception of Jay, where like I think a lot of people would assume like Jay would be the jerk that would make fun of the gay guy on the team.
Maybe, yeah.
Where he's exactly the opposite.
I think bullies do that, and I don't think Jay Cutler is a bully. I just think he's a curmudgeon who's curmudgeonly to everybody.
Uh-huh.
I think everybody, gay, straight, white, black, whatever, like I think everybody infringes equally on Jay Cutler's desire to just be left alone.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you go out at night like they were going out with Chewy and friends and things like that, you inherently can't be left alone because you're out with people. So Jay is just like, whatever, I got to be here. You know, like I, it's, you know, like it, they, they were wanting Jay to start telling stories about what it was like when he was courting Kristen, and Jay's like, nope, they were Topgolf.
Yeah.
Jay's like, nope, you're up, Chewy. Go ahead, swing. Like, he didn't want to tell any stories. That's how I kind of feel about Jay. Like, he is an equal amount of asshole to everybody.
And
he's an equal opportunity asshole.
I could see Kristen's friends off camera maybe being like, why do you put up with a guy like that? But then I think about my own wife. My wife has this capacity to befriend and enjoy people that are otherwise hated and despised by other people. And it's really annoying because she'll have like some of the people that she'll be friendly to, or she'll have as friends, like, are people that get on my nerves. But then at the same time, I'm kind of like, well, wait a second, what am I? Like, if my wife befriends these people.
She did befriend you.
Wait a second. Yeah. But she will, like, with men especially, they're really grumpy bastards. We used to have this old security guard / groundskeeper in this building we lived in who everybody was terrified of.
Yeah.
But he loved my wife.
Yeah.
Because she just would sit and chat with him, and yeah, she thought it was a... So I think Kristen Cavallari might be one of these people that just has... She's cool with Jay as he is.
I really like her on this show. Like, yeah, she comes across as super likable on this show. I just think there's a chance she might not be a very good businesswoman.
Oh.
I think that she's really good at attracting attention and using social media and building a big audience. I just don't know that she is built to put an infrastructure together to manage that audience. There's a chance she's really terrible at hiring people, which is like 90% of being a good manager.
You know what she needs to do then is she needs to be in the licensing business, which is what, you know, Kathy Ireland, you remember the supermodel?
She follows me on Twitter.
She's worth like $500 million.
She is.
And it's all licensing.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, I don't even know what her products are, but probably beauty products.
I don't
products
either. I was just happy she was
everything.
Following me.
How many people does
she follows?
Follow?
Like, she's one of those people that follows like 90,000 people.
Okay. Yeah, but so you're one of them.
Thanks for exposing my braggadocious ways.
I'm sorry. But she does follow you on
she
Twitter.
She does. I mean, she follows like 90,000 people, and in the whole world, I'm told there's like 5 billion people. Okay. So
Kristen
that's pretty
Cavallari,
good.
Though, I think that like the Kardashians too, you don't want to be the manager. You want to be good at what you're being good at,
yeah,
which is being a reality TV personality.
Yep.
And then use your name, license your name out. And maybe that's what Uncommon James, her brand in this show
ultimately
becomes. That's what I would tell her.
Yeah.
Like, you hire somebody else to be the manager. You can't be yelling at girls to put labels on
boxes.
I
think that's what she's trying to get Britney to do. I think Britney is supposed to be that person running the show. I just don't know.
But like, Britney's not like some Fortune 500.
No, like from what we've seen two episodes in, this thing is a train wreck. Like, they couldn't even agree on what to put on the communal desk.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, this business, and that's the other thing about Jay Cutler, is anytime the business comes up, Seth, like, he has a look on his face, like he knows he's going to be the one that winds up paying for this thing.
Yeah.
Like this, and I know Kristen Cavallari's built her brand and things like that. I don't know if they commingle their funds or whatever.
I don't think she's got the kind of money that Jay does.
No, I don't think so either. So Jay's got a look on his face, like anytime anything business wise comes up, he has this look like, huh, okay,
yeah,
I'll be footing the bill for this one. We'll see.
Well, I'm finding myself liking this a lot more, not just for the Jay Cutler, but for the other side of it too, which I'm a little bit ashamed of myself.
Well, this is what I would encourage people to do, because you and I in this podcast have used a lot of names. Everybody knows Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavallari, but the names of all the characters on the show, if you're listening to this, may not mean a lot. So I would recommend going, you can watch it on E! Online, you can watch it, it's on demand, but like, go watch it, and then this podcast, I think, will be a really good backdrop for watching it.
I'm also surprised by some of the language they get away with on E!
I am too!
I didn't know, like, you could...
Do you watch it on TV, or do you watch it on the internet?
Both.
Okay.
And I think I saw...
I streamed both episodes on the internet. My guess is you don't have to beep it on the internet.
Yeah, the cunnilingus reference.
She said, going down on me.
Oh, that's all.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All
right. I said cunnilingus.
I thought there was another one. Maybe I was watching online when.
Yeah.
And it might have been an even different version. So I would suggest go watching it online.
I would like to do a podcast with Jay Cutler about that article in the GQ magazine. See what he learned from
it. Let's reach out to Jay.
And see if he'll come on the Deceptively Fast podcast.
What's he going to tell us? He's too busy? And that will do it for today. Sean, thank you very much for being here. If you out there are enjoying this podcast, please give a 5-star review on iTunes. It helps out a whole lot. Recommend it to your friends, your relatives, anybody that you care about. We will start digging into some hardcore NFL topics here in the very near future, since football is finally finally upon us. Again, thank you in advance for 5-star reviews on iTunes. Please subscribe so you don't have to think about it and it just comes on in. And I appreciate all of you who have downloaded, who have given great feedback and responses. You are all awesome and I love you very dearly. I will see you next time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.